My name is Glyn Davis, and as the Vice Chancellor of the University of Melbourne, I'm particularly thrilled to welcome you to the launch of Bionic Vision Australia. And it's, of course, a special pleasure to welcome the Prime Minister to this memorable event. He will speak shortly, but I think it's first important to record gratitude to him for his enthusiastic support of bionic vision research. The 2020 summit, which he initiated with the help of a cast of 1,000 in early 2008, gave an enormous impetus to this idea. And that summit was an invitation to reach out to policies and ideas which could inspire this nation and to express some of our important aspirations. And amongst the many conversations the summit inspired, the bionic eye was a very important part of it. It was a headline idea, headline in so many ways. It helped acknowledge what Australian researchers can do, but it also said how we can reach out and make a huge difference. It's an idea that researchers and health experts are passionate about, and so many of the organisations represented this morning have got so much invested in this, both to see this succeed. So the Prime Minister's interest in this project begins at the very start. He's there at the summit, he's keen to see this included, and it rolls through. But what it's made possible is a fantastic bringing together of a whole range of organisations, great researchers, brilliant scientists. And I want to acknowledge a number of those. I need to start by acknowledging the State Department of Innovation, DIRD. Their early leadership, the early investment they made in making this possible has been hugely important. It was the catalyst that helped us organise here in Victoria. And then we were just privileged to work with the vision clinicians from the Centre for Eye Research Australia, CIRA, who a number of whom are here this morning, from the retinal surgeons from CIRA and the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, from leaders in medical bionics from the Bionic Ear Institute, from neuroscientists from the Australian National University and the University of Western Sydney, from electrical engineers from NICTA, both here in Victoria, more broadly at the University of Melbourne and our colleagues in the University of New South Wales, vision processing experts at NICTA's Canberra Research Laboratories, and biomedical engineers from the University of New South Wales. So you can see this is a national effort. It brings together a whole range of brilliant people around this shared concept. This morning's launch is a recognition that teamwork matters and that here we are with teamwork across research in the interests of a project that will make a fundamental difference in the lives of people who are vision impaired. It's a project that's been gathering pace for some time. It's made possible because we're building on technology developed in NICTA and elsewhere and bringing that together with some of our brilliant surgeons to see how we can make this possible. To achieve this, to achieve vision for people who are visually impaired would make a huge difference in their lives and would be a great recognition of not just what science makes possible, but how it can be applied. So the timely support of the Australian government making this possible has been crucial. I want to acknowledge that support, and without further ado, I'd like to call on the Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, to launch Bionic Vision Australia. The Prime Minister.
Thanks very much, Glyn, and also to acknowledge the CEO of the Australian Research Council, Margaret Scheel, the Chair of Vision Australia, Kevin Murphitt, Bionic Vision Australia Chairman, Professor Emeritus David Pennington, distinguished guests one and all, and I'd begin by acknowledging the first Australians on whose land we meet and whose cultures we celebrate as the oldest continuing cultures in human history. This is a very good day. There are some things that, shall we say, are in the everyday business of government. There are some things which governments do which may have a limited significance. But there are certain things which governments do which have a potential to yield something of enduring value. And I believe we're embarked upon one of those projects together here today. I'm often asked, what are the priorities of the government that I lead? Well, to begin with, our job is to keep the economy strong. It's to protect the jobs of working families, to keep Australia out of recession when the rest of the world collapsed into recession in the last year or two. It's also about delivering the basics to working families, to pensioners and to carers and to others. And that means fair laws in our workplace. It means ensuring that we're lifting the standards of our schools and investing properly in those schools. It means that we're also delivering better health and better hospital services for all Australians, wherever they come from. But it's also about building a future for those same Australians, a future for all Australians. The platforms of long-term economic growth built on productivity, on participation, and what we're here to celebrate today, innovation. Beyond that, building a future for our major cities and our major regions. How do we make our cities the centres of productivity, the centres of sustainability, the centres of livability? And beyond that again, how do we deal and tackle with and build a future for the next generation of Australians for the great intergenerational challenges of climate change, of water, of food? These are our priorities, both for the here and now, both for delivering the basics for working families, but also crafting out a future. But part of that future is about innovation and what we seek to celebrate here. Today we launch the research projects for what could be one of the most important medical advances we see in our lifetime, the development of an Australian-built bionic eye. Today we see for the first time the design of an implant. This bionic eye is undergoing tests in preparation for the first human implant, I'm advised, by 2013. The Bionic Eye Project will keep Australia at the forefront of bionic research and commercialisation and has the potential to restore sight to thousands of people in Australia and across the world. This project is a pioneering research project. This project is a critical health project. This project is an inspiration for all Australians, a symbol of what we can all achieve together by thinking big and then working together to turn those thoughts into reality. Our government's proud to be funding the development of the Australian-built bionic eye. It's part of our government's commitment to medical research infrastructure, which received almost $500 million in additional funding in last year's budget through the Health and Hospitals Fund. The project is also part of the government's broader commitment to science and innovation, which received a 25% funding increase this year to $8.6 billion, the biggest on record. The project is also part of the government's commitment to build a strong national health and hospitals network, whereby we, the Australian government, become the dominant funders of our primary health care, dominant funders of our acute hospital system, dominant funders of our aged care system, dominant funders for the first time of the capital needs of our system, the equipment needs of our system, the teaching needs of our system, as well as the training and research needs of our system. Because it's medical developments like the bionic eye that have the potential to improve the health and quality of life of Australians right around this country, and in fact, people right around the world. So today is a great day for Australian medical research, Australian healthcare, and the Australian bionics industry. Since Professor Graham Clark and his team pioneered the bionic ear in the 1970s, the borders of the possible in medical bionics have expanded dramatically. So it was only natural that during the conversations that occurred at the 2020 summit in 2008, that the development of a bionic eye emerged as both a timely and a valued goal. Our leading vision science organisations and specialists have accepted the challenge and have made huge steps towards making the bionic eye a reality. The Australia 2020 summit was an early initiative of the government. We invited a broad group of more than 1,000 Australians to think widely about their visions for our nation's future. We wanted to bring the ideas from the community into the halls of government. What kinds of things would make Australia great? What kinds of goals and plans should we set for ourselves? How could we improve the lot of working people? How could we carve out a creative future for our country and harness all its talents towards those ends? The 2020 summit was all about finding the broadest, most inspiring ideas to take us forward beyond the next election cycle, to expand the nation's canvas and to tackle deep-seated challenges that often seem too hard to begin tackling in the first place. That's what we're on about. One of the ideas that came forward dealt with the very real challenge of the vision impaired. Having pioneered the bionic ear, the time had come for us to tackle the challenge of the bionic eye. Despite my many years working in policy and government, as an official, as an advisor, as a Prime Minister, or as Humphrey, as Bernard, and then the Prime Minister, and therefore spotting all levels of obfuscation at any level, given that I've been party to all, I've got to say I've never heard of anything quite as inspiring as this particular idea. I'd never heard of it before. I'm quite free to admit it. But like all of you, I saw that if it could work, it would be an outstanding contribution to our common humanity. And the exciting news today is that I'm advised our researchers have come up with a prototype bionic eye. This could deliver improved quality of life for patients suffering from degenerative vision loss caused by a condition called retinitis pigmentosa. It could also help with muscular degeneration caused by the ageing process. The new device is currently being tested. It represents the astonishing capacity of Australian science and innovation. The device consists of a miniature camera mounted on glasses that captures visual input. It transforms this input into electrical signals that directly stimulate neurons in the retina. The implant will enable recipients to perceive points of light in the visual field that the brain can then reconstruct into an image. Tony Birkett will explain all this in more loving, caring and accurate detail than I could ever possibly manage. The beginning of wisdom in politics is to know what you know and to know what you don't know. But what researchers are excited about is the prospect that this will give vision-impaired users much greater mobility and independence. They hope that future generations of the implant will eventually allow recipients to recognise faces and read large print. The achievement of the bionic eye reflects the outstanding expertise of this country's leading researchers. We have experts from the University of Melbourne, the University of New South Wales, the Bionic Ear Institute, the Centre for Eye Research, and NICTA, which I'm told is not an institution dedicated to felony, but represents something else, Australia's ICT Research Centre of Excellence, and other institutions. The Australian government responded to the challenge that was presented with this idea with a $50 million Bionic Vision Science and Technology Initiative. We charged the Australian Research Council to assess the best proposals for the bionic eye. Last December, Bionic Vision Australia was awarded $42 million to utilise a technology that implants a device in the rear of the eye, the retina, to enable vision to blind patients suffering from degenerative retinal conditions. The Monash University and Alfred Hospital team was awarded $8 million to develop a device that is implanted directly on the region of the brain that processes vision signals. This will provide treatment for progressive blindness. Bionic Vision Australia is a genuine collaboration, bringing together leading researchers in medical bionics from Melbourne University, the University of New South Wales, the Bionic Ear Institute, the Centre for Eye Research Australia, the Victorian Research Laboratory of NICTA, and researchers from the ANU, the University of Western Australia, and if anyone's offended, anyone else listed on that chart behind me. This, therefore, is a great exercise in collaboration. And what we are here today is to celebrate, of course, the $42 million to Bionic Vision Australia that we have awarded to advance this research. Professor David Pennington has said that this grant will take the Bionic Eye team to the point where commercial development of an eye implant, which responds to wireless transmission of vision, will become a reality. So in the Bionic Eye project, we have a stunning research project for the future. But it's important to remember that great initiatives like this don't just emerge out of thin air. They require commitment and passion. They require vision. And they require hard work. With something like the bionic eye, they also need huge knowledge expertise. Here in the medical science community in Australia, we have that expertise in abundance. And the exciting progress made so far by these universities and these institutes is really a tribute to Australia's outstanding medical science capacity. I congratulate each and every one of you personally for your engagement with this project, at whichever level and in whatever field. It's a great exercise in collaboration. It's also a great reflection of the celebration of excellence that we have in Australia. And long may that celebration continue. For each of you who are participants in this great project, I wish you Godspeed. I wish you all the best of British luck. I know that sometimes innovations in research and the eureka moment are the product of luck rather than design. but for all of you, engage in what I think is a very good thing for our common humanity and the working people of Australia. This is good stuff to do, and I wish you every success in it. Therefore, it gives me great pleasure to launch this project today.
Prime Minister, Vice-Chancellor, distinguished colleagues and friends, one and all. It's a great pleasure to be able to thank the Prime Minister for finding time in a very busy schedule to be with us today to present a very well-informed and thoughtful comment on our project, and also to thank him for the initiative of the Ideas Summit 2 years ago, where, in fact, a hand went up suggesting this as a proposal, and it was recognised, and that was the starting point for which we were able to pull things together in a quite remarkable way. So you've played an important part in the initiation as well as in delivering our new project starting today. Australia's got a very commendable record in biomedical research, as we all know. I had the privilege, 7.5 years, chairing the company Cochlear Limited when it became an independent, publicly listed company, and saw that research, which began in this university with Professor Graham Clark, survived all sorts of criticisms. People said it couldn't ever be done, and nonetheless, he ploughed on, and the first human implant was then followed by the difficult process of commercialization, and venture capital was brought in, and very many more steps before the Cochlear company was formed. And then, despite naysayers saying, oh, but there are two companies, one in America and one in Europe, that already got the answers and into the market, nonetheless, he ploughed on, and the company, in fact, produced a product which is way ahead of the products which had already been said to be the answer overseas. And Cochlear has now 130,000 implants around the world, bringing hearing to people with profound deafness. It is still got 70% of the international market. It is still moving ahead, developing new and better devices to improve hearing. With that track record, of course, there were other scientists said, well, why can't we do things in another field with vision impairment? It's a huge problem in our community. We found there were groups in several different places thinking about these things. A particularly valuable group is in the biomedical engineering section of the University of New South Wales that had been working at this over a period of several years, seeking to produce something which they were testing in animals, which offered real promise. But it was moving slowly. They then made contact with people in Melbourne of the Bionic Ear Institute to see what could be learned from the experience of Cochlear and the work which is going on there with implantable devices to see what could be done to lift it to a higher level. It was recognised soon that what was needed was mechanisms to transfer information, huge amounts of information from a little camera, back to the devices at the back of the eye. And that required unusual skills in data transfer. And that was the area that Nicta had already achieved remarkable things with tiny little devices that would transmit both current and also information and could operate in a very, very sophisticated way. And then, of course, we had to look at improving the ways in which the signals would be transmitted to the nerve endings in the eye. And again, we had a remarkable materials group here in the engineering faculty. And bringing all of these things together, once that hand had gone up at the Ideas Summit, and there seemed a real prospect that we might get some support to do something, then the group was brought together as a formal group and got into detailed planning as to how to share remarkable skills and to achieve what we believe can be achieved within a foreseeable time in the same way as Cochlear has achieved such an international presence. I won't speak further about this because in a moment we're going to see a video, and then Tony Burkett, who's the director of our project, working together with colleagues from the five principal members, but also the Australian National University and the University of Western Sydney, and bringing together the skills that we can muster to achieve a remarkable breakthrough that will be needed. Technically very difficult, but we believe with remarkable skills that we have been able to muster to collaborate to a single purpose can be achieved.
More than 50,000 Australians, and many more globally, suffer from severe vision loss. And blindness has a profound effect on the quality of life for sufferers and their families. It also greatly impacts the community and costs Australia in excess of $3 billion annually. The emotional and psychological cost is immeasurable.
Through school, it was difficult because you, as a child, you tended to not tell people. When anyone's got a difficulty with a disability, you tend to hide it. You tend to try to act like all the other children, and it really was difficult when you're in classrooms and you had particular light coming in because the high contrast of light was difficult. So you had to deal with that. Seeing the board at different angles was sometimes difficult, but you didn't want to make a big deal of it, so you got picked on in class. So all those things you had to deal with, and you just, I think, made little corrections along the way, trying to not look obvious with your peers.
Bionic Vision Australia, whose members include the University of Melbourne, the University of New South Wales, Centre for Eye Research Australia, the Bionic Ear Institute, and NICTA, together with researchers from partner institutions, including the Australian National University and the University of Western Sydney, as well as eye surgeons from the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital, was formed to develop a bionic eye capable of greatly improving the lives of patients like Leighton, specifically those with retinitis pigmentosa and age-related macular degeneration. The WideView neurostimulator concept unveiled today will provide users with increased mobility and independence, and future versions of the implant will eventually allow recipients to recognise faces and read large print. These dotted images show what bionic vision would initially look like, and the idea of restored vision is also bringing hope to sufferers, like Chair of Vision Australia, Kevin Murfitt, who lost his sight to a shattered car windscreen.
Well, I have vivid memories of, you know, how my family looks, and I still hold those memories. To actually be able to reinvigorate those would be something else.
The next 4 years, leading up to the first human implant of the WideView neurostimulator in 2013, will involve intense clinical trials to ensure the safety and efficiency of the device.
The 4 years is a proof of concept of getting a device developed and that we can put in very safely and easily into a patient and then have it clearly work and function the way we anticipate. There's general excitement and anticipation that there will be something that will help. Everyone realises that it's not going to be bringing back the vision that they had as a younger person. But also they realise a lot of times that their disease is inherited, and so they're hopeful that maybe if it doesn't help them necessarily in the early stages, it'll be something that will help their family members who may also suffer from this disease as well.
The biggest thing that a bionic eye would give you is be able to see the people that matter in your life. You know, your spouses, your family, your friends, all those sort of things. And if you can be given the chance to see them again, to see, you know, if you had grandchildren or you had close friends and relatives, you know, it'd be just an absolute bonus. I mean, also, you know, just the things you enjoy, if you enjoy scenery, things like that. You know, to be able to see that, just to be able to see the world is just something that would be really special, I think, to people that were given the opportunity of a bionic eye.
It gives me great pleasure today, on behalf of our scientific team, to be able to unveil the first concept for our bionic eye. The Prime Minister has, of course, stolen my thunder, but I will take you through a little bit of detail what our concept for the bionic eye will look like and how it will work. What we see here is a camera mounted on a set of glasses. In fact, we have a prototype over here, which you're welcome to come up and have a look at later, which will capture the external image. It sends it down then through to a vision processing unit, shown here in the top pocket, that we worn externally, where that image is transferred into a, or transformed, into a series of electrical impulses that are suitable for the stimulation of the implanted electrode array. So that signal is then sent back, transmitted then wirelessly through the skin, very much like it is for a cochlear implant, and sent through to an electronics unit placed on the outside of the eye. Now, the placement for this first generation device is what's called suprachoroidal, so it means it goes between the external sclera, the covering of the eye, and the choroid, which is the blood vessels that irrigate the eye. So this is what we call our first generation device, the wide view neurostimulator, and it will enable the patients to be able to navigate in their environment and to be able to avoid obstacles. This diagram shows the implanted components of the device, and we have here the receiver, and the power is transmitted through the skin and received here on this inductive coil, and the power and the data are then transmitted down to the electronics unit, which sits on the outside of the sclera of the eye. And this enables us to control the type of electrical stimulation of small platinum electrodes. And again, if you look carefully, you can see that they have exactly this hexagonal arrangement here. One important aspect of this, of course, must be very safe. So we're using the sorts of materials that have been used in other implant systems, particularly the cochlear implant, and platinum, which has also been shown to be very, very both effective and very safe to use for the lifetime of a patient. One of our key concerns and one of the main focuses of our research effort, of course, is to ensure that all of the materials that we use and the way in which we use them is entirely safe for the lifetime of the patient. This diagram shows how we can achieve this sort of localized stimulation. If you look carefully, you can see this hexagonal arrangement of the electrodes. And a key component of our research project is being able to control the type of electrical stimulation that we give in order to be able to achieve this localized activation of the retina and then the localized activation of what happens in the visual cortex and ultimately, of course, the perception that the patients will achieve. As we go up to something like 64 phosphenes or 64 electrodes, you can see that you actually get a bit more information, but it's not until you actually get up to our second generation device, which we call a high acuity neurostimulator, that you begin to see that you're capable of getting a much more accurate representation of the original image. Although, of course, nothing quite compares with the original image. This is a mock-up of what the external visual processing system would look like. So we have the set of glasses here with the camera mounted at the centre here and then sent through to the vision processing unit. So another important part of our research program is the understanding of the vision processing that's necessary and desirable in order to be able to maximise the benefit to the patients. So, for example, the ability to be able to pick up the outline of objects, the ability also to be able to encode things according to their distance from the patient. So something that's very far away may not be as salient or as important as something that's close. It's obviously important that the person can avoid obstacles, so we want to be able to encode the things that are close by with the greatest reliability and salience. So with that, I'll complete here. I thank you all for coming and joining with us in this very exciting day. And we do invite you to stay on. We do have the mock-up here of what the vision system would look like and also of the receiver and the implanted system. And there will be morning tea served outside, so I do invite you to join us with that. Thank you very much.